Forecast for today, going to be mainly sunny with a high in the low 70s. Racine County handles public safety dispatching for all municipalities except for the city of Burlington. But that may change in the near future. City leaders, because of flooding in July that took out their local dispatch center, have decided now to go forward and seek the right deal through negotiation on combined dispatch, including what would happen to their current group of dispatchers, also potentially saving the community millions of dollars in the long run. City Administrator Karina Walters reading a prepared statement after a closed-door session of the council last night that followed public comment, which was mostly city dispatchers.
Hopefully, if you choose option 3, keeping both dispatch centers open, we can find a better way to communicate with Racine County Sheriff's Department. Right now, we're only working off portable radios. We have to communicate with them over the phone, and not anything against them. I'm sure they have the same issues we have. Several times we try to call them, the line is busy, and that just holds up response times.
I just believe that the officers probably would be hired regardless of whether dispatch stays or goes. Am I correct in that? If we go, you'd still ask for two. If we stay, you'd still ask for two. So you take them out of the equation, it really does seem minimal to me. What does it come out to, like $32 per parcel per year is what the cost would be to the city to stay.
Prior to the public comments, there was question and answers from the alderman, during which Police Chief Mark Anderson said he understands the appeal with the Racine County dispatch system, said the level of service would not decrease. He emphasized, though, the need for dedicated dispatch and a backup system.
To restore dispatch to the city of Burlington, there should be some serious conversations about installing a backup dispatch console at a location inside the city. So yes, we can restore dispatch for $7.6 million. But in order to do this the right way, there should be some discussions real soon about how to make us bigger and stronger than we are. Long term, maybe we need to talk about us having the ability for our dispatchers to answer cellular 911 calls.
While the Burlington Council agreed to start the process of exploring a contract with the county for combined dispatch, no time frame was given. The Urban League of Racine and Kenosha is going to be getting a new leader, Yolanda Santos Adams announcing her retirement as president and CEO, effective tomorrow. She took the job 11 years ago. The group's board of directors will do a nationwide search to find a replacement. The deadline for applying for Wisconsin's lottery and gaming credit coming up soon, very soon. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Property owners can claim the credit if they owned property used as their primary residence on January 1st of that tax year, according to Kenosha County Treasurer Terry Jacobson. If they are not already getting the credit, the deadline to apply for the 2016 credit is October 2nd. Jacobson is urging those eligible for the credit not to leave money on the table. The credit was created in the 1987 constitutional amendment that allows the state to have a lottery. It also requires the net proceeds of the lottery be used for property tax relief, based each year on Wisconsin lottery revenue. Forms to claim last year's credit, apply for the credit going forward, or to remove a property from the credit are available on the county's website at kenoshacounty.org or at the county treasurer's office. Kenosha County also provides an online database that allows property owners to check to see if they have an available credit. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
There are many stories about drug and alcohol addiction in people's lives, and while you don't think about athletes, the problem is greater than you may think. The story of Bernie Carbo, just one example, which he will be telling in Kenosha next Monday. If the name rings a bell, it should. Bernie Carbo played 12 years in Major League Baseball, including toward the end of his career with the Milwaukee Brewers, but he's known for his days with the Boston Red Sox. Bernie Carbo had drug and alcohol issues, and he says it cut short his career. He'll talk about it and more starting at 8 a.m. Monday at Kenosha Harborside Commons, then at noon at Gateway Technical College, followed by 5 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club, and concluding at 7:30 p.m. inside the Shalom Center's new facility on 39th Avenue. Every year, members of the Racine County Bar Association gather in the ceremonial fourth-floor courtroom at the courthouse, and they remember those who passed away in the last year. Today's 3 p.m. event will note some very well-known names. Retired Judge John Jude, Judd Wyatt, Amy Laurent Zott, Jim Fettick, and Garth Seehafer. Aloysius Jerry Pfeiffer, at the age of 95, passed away on Friday, September the 22nd. From 1968 to 1986, he served as the Secretary-Treasurer of Racine Independent Insurance Agents. The massive Christian burial coming up on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church on Spring Street in Mount Pleasant. Friends and relatives can meet with the family Friday at the Marsh Meredith and Acklin Funeral Home, starting at 5 p.m. And John Salerno overseen at the age of 88 passed away September 20th at the Ridgewood Care Center. Private services followed by interment will be held at the Southern Wisconsin Veterans Memorial Cemetery. The Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home helping the family with the arrangements. UW Parkside's Continuing Education Department will be hosting a Human Trafficking Breaking the Silence Conference on Friday, October the 20th from 8:15 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon in the Student Center. The lineup of keynote and breakout session presenters will range from human trafficking task force advocates to former victims of human trafficking. The topics to be covered will include basic overview of human trafficking, trauma bonding, labor trafficking, also a look at the problem from the lens of a survivor. Neil Lofi, FBI Wisconsin Human Trafficking Task Force member, and Carrie Hemig, the founder and executive director of the Fight to End Exploitation, will also give an overview of human trafficking and delve into the sex trafficking issue across the country. Registration is online at uwp.edu/ce, or you can call 262-595-3340. Among the different components to plans for revitalizing downtown Kenosha is the Facade Grant Program. It provides up to $10,000 to commercial property owners in the city's Lakeshore Business Improvement District.
They'd go through an application process. We have a weighted scoring matrix that we put them through. We have a subcommittee who goes through that. Once we pick our initial projects, we bring the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation out, and they will do a facade rendering for these buildings. We'll move through the process, so it's capped at $10,000 per party right now.
Nicole Thompson, the new executive director of Downtown Kenosha Incorporated, says the facade grant program already attracting several applicants, more are expected.
That's going to bring tangible brick and mortar improvement to our downtown, which we are so excited about. And then also you'll see next is we keep a full inventory of downtown buildings that are available for lease or for rent or to buy. So we're able to, when people come to us and they're looking for new businesses, I act as a funnel for that. Whether it's new developers, new business, I meet with those people, I take them around the downtown, I talk about the opportunities.
She credits the community sponsors for the Facade Grant Program, which has an application deadline, by the way, of tomorrow. The applicants commit $20,000 to a storefront project, with the DKI facade grant covering up to half that amount. In Kenosha County, the Bristol Village Board this week voted to increase the annual stormwater fee to $30 from $9, which will show up as a separate item on December tax bills. The jump made after a survey of nearby municipalities with similar fees showed Bristol to have the lowest stormwater fee. The next closest was Pleasant Prairie at $36 a year. A stormwater fee is paid by any property that has a structure or a parking lot, with larger buildings and structures paying a larger fee. Village officials are wondering if the recent flooding might help taxpayers to better understand the fee increase, for which they are anticipating just a few phone calls. The Mount Pleasant Village Board approved an ordinance change this week that makes a Class C wine-only license available to village businesses. Village Clerk Stephanie Kohlhagen noting that the license has not been available within the community, which is usually paired with a Class B beer license.
Basically, will allow for us to have a Class C wine license for restaurants, which the sale of alcohol beverage accounts for less than 50% of the gross receipts and does not have a bar room. Typical examples would be the fast casual dining, such as Blaze, Chipotle, Noodles, if they so choose to have a Class C, which usually is paired with a Class B beer only, so you have beer and wine instead of a full liquor license.
Kohlhagen noting that there is no limit on the number of wine licenses the village can approve, unlike full liquor licenses. The change was approved unanimously by the village board. Two people escaped from a vehicle that went into Kenosha's small boat harbor yesterday near 45th Street. The incident by Simmons Island Marina drawing quite a crowd. Circumstances of why the vehicle went into the water still unknown, though. By the time first responders got to the scene, the occupants were out of the car, which was leaking both fuel and oil to the surface. Members of the Kenosha County dive team came in to help get the vehicle hooked up so it could be pulled out by a tow company. One of the toughest decisions he's ever had to make is what befell Burlington Catholic Central High School football coach Tom Aldrich this week. He had to put on his hat as the school's athletic director and end the varsity football season now with 3 games left. The reasons? Simple. Not enough players on the team and injuries. Aldrich telling the Journal-Times, "We just don't have the numbers." The decision means that those remaining games will be going down in the record books as forfeits. The junior varsity games, though, will be completed, according to Aldrich, who's been the coach of state championships at that school in prior years. While the other owners of the Reef Point Brewhouse restaurant on Racine County-owned Reef Point Marina grounds, they're trying to distance themselves from John Valco's now-deleted Facebook posting, which suggested killing all NFL players who kneel during the national anthem. They've been trying to disassociate themselves and the business from Valco's online comments ever since they came out and grabbed all kinds of attention. The other owners, well, they say they strongly disagree with what Valco said, and the comments do not reflect the beliefs and values of the others involved in the business. Even though Kenosha's got a new homeless shelter, at least 20 people, by one estimate, are still sleeping outside every night because they have substance abuse or mental health issues. That disqualifies them from a bed at the new Shalom Center site on 39th Avenue. Many were regulars to the nonprofit shelter called First Step. It closed months ago, but it took in anybody if they weren't disruptive. And that leaves a gap, according to Pastor Jonathan Barker at Grace Lutheran Church.
With First Step closing, we don't have a place for these people. And again, these are people that have come into my church. They've prayed with us. They've eaten with us. They've worshiped with us. We've driven them to work. We've gotten to really be invested in their lives in many different ways. And some of these people right now do not have any plan for what will happen when it gets cold.
Barker and a task force trying to figure out what to do while suggesting the ideal situation would be the Shalom Center taking the difficult-to-handle homeless at a separate site. Shalom Center Director Lynn Bees Carroll told our partners at Gateway Public Radio that their board of directors could discuss the problem during a strategic planning session.
They will look at where do we need to go financially? How do we sustain the operations? What should the scope of our operations be? How inclusive can we be of other programs?
The Shalom Center's new single-site homeless shelter and the new facilities, all part of a previous strategy plan. Those came about, though, 4 years later than expected. And the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs reminding the public, grant applications are being accepted from registered nonprofit organizations for providing entrepreneurship training or technical business or other assistance to veteran entrepreneurs, all to improve employment outcomes. Completed applications are due by tomorrow, take note. Those materials available online at www.wisvets.com. Click on the veteran-owned business logo. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.